everybody. It's Mike Jeffers, Chicago Jazz Magazine, ChicagoJazz.com, and welcome to the Chicago Jazz Audio Experience Podcast. I am excited to be joined on the line here by the great Paul Taylor, incredible saxophonist. He is going to be performing in the area. He is going to be right there in Harbor Park Jazz Rhythm and Blues Festival on August 17th, 12:30 p.m. The doors open until 9:30 p.m. and Paul's taking the stage at 7:30 on the main stage. Paul, thanks so much for jumping on for a few minutes here to preview the show here coming up in Kenosha.
No problem. Glad to do it. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You know, and just to let the listeners know, this is the 15th anniversary of this incredible festival. And the festival, and Paul, you're going to love this because I don't think you've played at this specific festival in the area yet. It's set up right on the Kenosha lakefront. So the sight lines are beautiful. You're going to be performing on a stage that overlooks Lake Michigan. It's an incredible vibe. And then to add to the vibe, your music is going to just hit it like perfectly. I mean, it couldn't be a better match for the whole vibe of the festival to have you headlining and closing it out. So let's talk a little bit about what people can expect. Now, I know your latest recording, which came out just a couple of years ago, I know you're still touring on it, is Countdown. And, you know, the music on that recording really kind of, it feels to me, I listened to, you know, different portions of different recordings of yours in the past just to kind of catch up a little bit. Sounds like you're really, with this recording specifically, sounds just a little bit different, almost like you're kind of pushing the envelope and incorporating a lot of different styles on this one.
Absolutely. You know, and also like what you said earlier about the location, I can't wait to play it. That sounds awesome. Play all the Countdown songs and some of the older hits, but I think you definitely hit the nail on the head on with Countdown. It kind of, just the way it happened on this recording, you know, years leading up to it, the way the tunes came out and working out with my producer that, you know, it's still, you know, still my core kind of sound, but kind of pushing the boundaries a little bit in different ways. Some songs are kind of have the mashup kind of sound with some EDM and a little bit of a rock element to it, and some have some like mystical qualities to it, like the title track. And yeah, like I think you definitely are feeling the vibe of it. You know, still PT, but like just kind of evolving and kind of definitely trying some different things and really going for it.
You know, that's the one thing that I think, and I love talking to artists like yourself who's toured all over the world. And I mean, you know, you've performed for many years and you've recorded a lot of recordings, and I'm sure you've recorded with other artists too on their recordings as well over the years, because that's just kind of naturally what happens. You know, oh, I want Paul Taylor to be on my recording, let's have him on here. So you've probably played on a lot of different styles and genres and things like that. Obviously your sound is your sound, but do you feel like, and I love talking about this since I'm a musician as well, but you've played in so many different settings and you've been exposed to so many different sounds and genres, it's probably just a natural progression to continue to kind of like just incorporate the things that are influencing you at the time. Is that kind of the way Countdown came about?
I believe so. You know, I just, you know, I have to go with what feels natural to me, and you know, I definitely do that. And then but I got some extra, you know, some, you know, just listening to all the, you know, the stuff in the last few years on radio, just different inspirations that come to me, you know, and then I just react to those when I'm writing and or collaborating. And sometimes it takes a, you know, a different turn, but still has the same, you know, the same, like you just said, like the same core elements that I'm used to and comfortable doing.
Yeah, and you know, I love the fact that, you know, no matter, I love the funkier stuff. I love how you're kind of bringing in some of the, it's almost like a reggae feel on some things, and there's some different vibes happening and stuff, and it just goes right along. But it's still, the thing I love about it too is that it's still the Paul Taylor sound, you know. So let's talk a little bit. I love talking about background too, because I mean, with you coming up, you've played, looking over your, you know, your bio and all your career and everything. I mean, you've played in so many different settings, but when you first started, was there like one or a couple of artists that really influenced you, sax wise, I would assume, you know, in your playing that you said, man, I want to become a professional musician because I love the way that guy sounds and I want to do that. Was there a particular influence that you can gravitate to?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, this happened like, you know, this happened way back in like, in the, probably the in the 70s. Like, obviously, mm-hmm. you know, when I my parents got me playing, and my brother playing, you know, music, just to, I mean, organized activities in a youth band. And so that was basically, you know, I don't want to say I'm a lark doing that, but, you know, you get your kids in the in either sports or whatever, some kind of youth thing. So for us, it was music, and then we just kind of kept with it. And then when I kind of started getting good, we got us into private lessons. And then when I got into the jazz bug, it was like, to answer your question, it was like Grover Washington Jr., David Sanborn, the Brecker Brothers, those guys. Yeah, like that, yeah. For sure.
Yeah, that's you can kind of you can hear all sorts of that in your tones and stuff. So I kind of figure, especially Grover Washington Jr., I imagine, and the Brecker Brothers. I mean, that those two specific, well, and David Sanborn as well. Actually, David Sanborn was a real big influence on a lot of people, I think, because he had that TV show that he had for many years in the 90s too. So
yes, yes, indeed.
You know, so I remember talking to him, and he still is astonished at how many people that show specifically influenced. You know, so when you're mm-hmm. when you're coming up and you're performing and you're starting to play gigs and you're doing different things, I always love to ask somebody when I'm interviewing them that's got such a huge career as yours. Was there one or two gigs or some moment or some tour or something that you said, hey, you know what, I think I could do this professionally. This is happening, and people are digging my music. But, you know, because you're as an artist, you're probably always like, well, you know, I don't know. There had to be one moment where you're like, bingo, I'm on it.
You know, I would say, you know, well, you know, with me, it's kind of the way my little story goes. I was kind of my stuff kind of happened a little later. Like, I think I would guess most people it happens like, you know, they get their big break in their 20s or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it didn't happen until I was like 35. So, you know, it took a little longer for me to get to that point as a recording artist. So it didn't happen until I was 35. So, you know, so that moment you're talking about for me happened, like, I'm about to go way back again to like high school when a few of my, schoolmates, you know, good friends, we formed our own band called Mixed Company. Mm-hmm. And then we started gigging around the greater Denver area, and we kind of got up there, did major clubs and stuff. And of course we started like just small parties and bar mitzvahs and just playing backyard, you know, keggers, as they say back then, and stuff like that. But, you know, again, once I started doing that with those guys and we started making progress, I knew at that point, oh man, this is the stuff. This is what I want to do.
Yeah, that's incredible, and the fact that you actually played a kegger party, that's even better. No, I'm just I love that. I played those. Everybody's played those. So
there you go.
So let's talk a little bit. Let's preview what people can expect to hear at the Harbor Park Jazz Rhythm and Blues Fest, August 17th. Paul Taylor's performing 7:30 p.m. He hits the stage. Is this a regular group that you've been playing with for a while? Is this your touring band? You know, what can people expect to hear?
Well, I believe it's going to be, I'm going to give you some musicians that are conducive to the area.
Oh, okay.
Or else I'll be bringing some cats in from probably maybe Illinois, Chicago, which is not too far. Mm-hmm. So either one of those two ways, but we're going to, you know, whoever I have there, we're going to bring it. And, you know, I have a great, you know, I'm going to custom, you know, each set, I kind of customize my set to whatever the locale. And of course I got a lot of countdown songs, and I mix it in with, you know, some of my older hits and some stuff we just like kind of just do off the cuff with solos and things like that. And so I just try to mix it up and, you know, make a show out of it, and you give everyone what they want and just try to get some good entertainment. They can just enjoy the time.
It's got to be sort of tough too, because when you start delving into all of the different recordings you have, I mean, you could probably play like a 5-hour set or something, you know, so you've got to whittle it down a little bit. Are there like specific favorites? Obviously some of the hits, but I mean, are there some specific favorites that you like playing just because it jams a certain way, that the tune flows a certain way? It's got, you know, it's just something that you just love incorporating into the overall, you know, set list.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's terms like they may not be like the radio hits, but like, but some are, mm-hmm. you know, the good part is that some of them are that, which is even better. So like Avenue, which is, that was back in the, like 2001, maybe. Avenue is always a good song to play. no matter what. Also, tune of my the previous album, which was Tenacity, there was a couple good tunes on there I love to play a lot. And one of them is called Lux. It's a really cool ballad.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't just an album cut. You know, it's deep into the album. And in that song, we kind of extend it, incorporate some vocals and some audience stuff. And so, yeah, I just have a ball with that. And even on Countdown, there's one called Roundup by Olaf the Dew. You know, it's just an album cut. It wasn't a single or anything like that. But this has a nice, you know, it has that mashup kind of feel of EDM and some like rock.
Yeah.
Rock. What I love to do, that song because it's just a really, to me, it's kind of innovative song. And so we just kind of go off on that, you know, and there's, like you said, there's a couple good songs like that you need to have in there that no matter what, you would love to play. And that's what I try to do as well.
Yeah, no, that's I kind of figured that. That's why I wanted to ask, because, I mean, there's always a couple of tunes that maybe aren't the radio hits, but that you're like, yeah, we got to incorporate that into the set just because it really drives the band or it builds things up or it includes the audience and all of that good stuff. When was the last time? Can you even remember? Because I'm looking over your schedule. When's the last time you were even up in the area? Were you in Milwaukee, Wisconsin at all in the past couple of years? I think this is one of the first times for people to actually get out and see you live right in their hometown.
Absolutely. I think, it has been a few years. It's probably been over 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say the last time I was there was, I think either it might have been there's another really good organization called Jazz on the Vine. I believe I did that. And that was a while back. But then I did there was a very cool, very big, the greatest guy. And he left us on our phase of life a few years ago. But his name was RJ Jones. And he had a club called RJ's, ARJ's, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought me there like at least two or three times. And, had my group there. And this is back when I carried a band, I actually had a band, and we just, no matter where, I'd have, mostly they were all from Vegas, which is where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And we would just tour from there everywhere instead of getting regional positions. But this is back during that time. And he had us there at least, as I said, like at least three times. And he had a really nice big club, and, he would have us play there. And, it was a good turnout. And man, it was funny, kind of funny story that like the club was kind of in two rooms. Like he had the main room, the big club. And then he had a VIP kind of club room. And so that was the smaller VIP club room was kind of our dressing room, our green room. And it had a full bar and everything. And so, again, I'm not a big drinker, but I'm sure everyone likes to imbibe every now and then. So some of the guys in the band were like, oh man, they have all this and this and that. And he goes, help yourself, whatever here is yours, you guys. And some of my band members were like, they were like, salivating. I said, hey man, don't be, the guy's very nice offering that, but don't take it, don't take it at his word. We got to play,
Yeah. Right. You have to make it to the stage.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. But I mean, this is a great opportunity for people. We've gotten a lot of great response through Chicago Jazz Magazine with the posts that we've done. I mean, people are loving the fact that you're coming back to the area. They're looking forward to seeing you. And, so it's a great opportunity, and I'll just tell all of our listeners. So it's August 17th. The whole festival starts at 12:30 p.m., goes till 9:30. Music starts at 2 p.m. There's some great groups opening up for Paul. Natty Nation, which is a reggae band. Christopher's Project is going to be there, which is a really well-known jazz group in Milwaukee. Nora Jean Brusso, which is she's a killer blues artist from Chicago. And then Paul Taylor and his group hit it at 7:30. Tickets, general admission tickets, are just $25. And VIP tickets, which has a whole lot of stuff included, which is incredible, are only $85. And all that stuff can be found at MahoneFund.org. We're going to link all that up. All the proceeds from the fest benefit the Mahone Fund, which does great work in the community there. And, Paul, I really appreciate you jumping on. This has been great. Great conversation. I'm looking forward to meeting you in person on August 17th in Kenosha.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I'm glad. Thank you for calling. And, man, I can't wait to get there. And, man, just put it all, put it picture perfectly for me. I know what to expect, and I'm looking forward to doing it.
Yeah, it's going to be a beautiful scene. You're going to really enjoy it. And I know everybody coming out to enjoy it is going to really dig the whole vibe of the whole thing. And Paul's just going to make the whole thing happen when he headlines the whole thing. So appreciate everybody listening to the Chicago Jazz Audio Experience podcast. And, of course, get more information at chicagojazz.com, chicagojazzmagazine.com, and everywhere you can listen to podcasts. So thanks again to Paul, and we will catch everyone, hopefully, at the August 17th Jazz Fest right there at Harbor Park Jazz Rhythm and Blues Fest.